a new attempt to continue our learning of the daily chapter according to the schedule of the 929 website. Since we've been struggling on getting it out every day, I want to try to do it this way. Maybe we'll manage to do it live, maybe with a crowd. We'll try to do it in the morning every day, I think at 7 a.m. If anyone wants to join live every day, we'll try to do it every day at 7 a.m. But today we're just starting, and we're following the schedule of the 929 order website. And the rule is that if we miss a day or miss a month or miss a year, we don't care. We just continue from that day, because otherwise we would always be stuck in the beginning. So today we're studying Sefer Vayikra chapter 7. So we started Sefer Vayikra last week. As everyone else started Sefer Shemais, we're starting Vayikra. And we're up to chapter 7. So to give the general context of this chapter, as you can see here, I brought you my Chumash, where you could see on the headers on the top, in the general structure of the book, the beginning of Vayikra, in other words, the first 7, 8, 9 chapters, or maybe we could say the first 7 chapters, so this is the last chapter explicitly in that order, is all the laws, Torah Sakarbonis. Of course, it has a story. We should have discussed that in the first chapter, but I'm going to skip that for now. We'll get back to a part of the story at the end of this chapter, the narrative in which this book is framed, in which the halachas of this book are framed. But there are the laws of the different kinds of karbonis, and that's how they're framed. There's different kinds of karbonis, known generally as a karbon oila, karbon mincha, a karbon chatas, a karbon osham, and a karbon shlamim. Those are the 5 general kind of karbonis mentioned in this chapter. Really, as we always say, there's only 2 kinds of karbonis, a oila and a zevach. All other karbonis are variations of that. But those are the kinds of karbonis. And there's 2 series. That's the important thing for understanding the chapter where we're in. There's 2 series, 2 sets of laws of each of these groups. So the first set is Parshas Vayikra, and the Parshas of the week organized it actually very well, matches with this division. Parshas Vayikra is the first 5 chapters. Are the first order, which gives step by step the laws of each kind of carbon, a carbon oila, a carbon mincha, carbon shlomim, carbon chatas, and a carbon osham, which is a variation on a chatas, as we'll see today explicitly. And then another kind of carbon, which we call carbon oila v'yored, which is also a variation on a chatas or osham, depending on how you want to read it. I think that's a variation on osham, but there can be disagreement about that. Now, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, we have a new series of the same laws, seemingly, or different aspects, different parts of the laws of the same covenant. So working in the same structure, in the same way, there's lists of Oila, Chatas, Shlamim, and so on. But they're not the same exact laws, and we need to understand them, what the difference between these two are. There's different theories for what's going on here. Why are there these 2 series of laws of the same things? All of the there's some details that are here that aren't in the earlier one, in the previous series, but they all could have been there, it seems like, and some of them are there explicitly, some of them are just repeats. So this needs an explanation. What we do have explicitly is a header. So the previous set, what starts Vayikra, was only framed by this call, Vayikra al Moshe. Hashem calls Moshe and gives him these laws. There isn't a header in the sense of like a what we call headers in the Chumash, or my Chumash is usually printed centered, as you could see, because that's a header of the text itself. All right, so here we have a header, we have a general header, or we have a general header, like not the header, how do you call a header on the bottom, a footer, right? Like when we have the fancy, what do you call them? The fancy beams. So they had like a header on top and a footer, or a header, like kind of nice thing on the bottom. The Torah works that way. This is a medrash already. And we have, but in any case, we have specific headers in the beginning which start Zois Torah Sa'ila. So Zois Torah Sa'ila does start with a story, with a command, tell Ahad and his children this and this. But then it has a header, Zois Torah Sa'ila. And so do all the other parts, kinds of kabbonis in this series. They have each header, Zois Torah Sa'ila, Zois Torah Ha'achata, Zois Torah Sa'osham. Those are the headers, and then at the end, all the way at the end, if we'll skip ahead very quickly to the end here, you'll see there's a footer, like a header, and that, again, a pasuk, which is its only purpose is to give you the end. It says, so this is the bottom header, the footer of this set, specifically of this set. We should don't make the mistake to think that Zoyis HaTorah is also on Vayikra. Zoyis HaTorah is explicitly framing the parsha that started Zoyis HaTorah Sa'ola, and then Mincha Chatas Osham Miluim and Shlamim, and how we get the bottom of that, the end. This is where it ends. So the Zoyis is sometimes something that goes on what precedes it. Sometimes it goes on what follows it. We have to figure out by the context which kind of Zoyis. Same thing as the word Ela in the Torah, can be on about what preceded or can be about what follows. So that's the structure of this parsha. And as you see here in the end of chapter 7, this is the end of today's chapter, we have this double kind of structure, right? It finishes Zoyis HaTorah, and then it also has Ashet Tziv Hashem, just like in the beginning, which is the beginning of Parshas Tzav, it started off, right? I went all the way to Vayikra. But in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, it started Tzav HaSahara and Zoyis HaTorah Sa'ila. And here we have them specifically, Oila, Achatas, and so on. But then in the end, we have the same kind of ending. Zoyis HaTorah, Ashet Tziva Hashem. Okay, so that's the framing of these parshias. Now, I do want to give one thing that can help us understand what the difference, what these Torah. So, of course, this word Torah is where we get the word Torah Skehanim. The Torah Skehanim, the book of Sefer Vayikra, known as Torah Skehanim, is probably named for all of these different little parshas in it called Torah specifically. And Torah means something like the law or the order. You can think about exactly how to translate it in the best way. But Torah is how these laws are called. And this we have specifically here. We don't have that in Vayikra. And I think that all these Torahs, one focus that we could see, and this is why it's Torah, specifically framed to the Kehanim, Tzav HaSaharen, is that it has a focus on what the Kohen does. So what the Kohen does with the carbon. If you'll notice, the first Parsha Vayikra, very explicitly started, right, not speaking to the Kohen. Odom ki akriv mekem, a person, a man, and then nefesh, ish, other words which mean just an individual human or individual yid that wants to bring a carbon, and it starts from he's bringing the carbon, and then at some point the Kehanim take over, as it says, and there's, of course, halacha, where exactly the work of the Kohanim begins in a carbon. If you compare Parshas Tzav, which is where we are now, and you go right in the beginning, you'll see that it starts off right from what the Kohen does. So from the Oila, talks about how the Kohen takes care to burn the Oila, and the Chatos, and then Mincha, talks about how the Kohen does Kemitza, and and there's carbonus of the Kehanim themselves, a mincha, and Chatas, it talks about what the Kohen eats, and where it's, also where the Shechita is, which according to Chazal is not something the Kohen has to do, but it's explicitly framed as the parts of the Kehanim they eat. Some carbonus they eat, some carbonus they just burn, and so on. So that's, I think, one big difference between these two parshas. There might be other differences, but that seems to me to be the obvious difference. So that's the general introduction to this parsha of Torah Sachatos, Torah Sachatos. It's also something interesting we could note that now that we talked about this foot header, that the Torah doesn't usually deal in generalities. So I put my header Torah Sakabonas, watch, because this is my header for this whole section. It's Torah Ha, Oila, Chatas, Osham, and so on. So how do we call them all together? Karbonas. That's how Chazal call it, at least. And the Torah, when it does give this, right, we have in the end of the chapter, Zoyis HaTorah, it doesn't say Zoyis Torah Sakabonas, right? It says a long list. Oila, Mincha, Chatas, Osham, Milim, Shlomim. All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different parts of this list. And that's the style of the Tanakh. The style of Tanakh is not to deal in generalizations. If it has to give a long thing, it would prefer to give you the long, detailed list than to just give one word. And if it does give one word, it's always going to be a metonym, always a one detail that is that the generality, that the genus, that the klal is called by, not a new name for the klal. That's just how the Torah works, the language of the Torah. So now go through the parts, the details of this chapter, which starts here. And whoever split chapter 6 and 7, I have no idea what they were doing or why they split it here. It's a coherent way place. It's a good place to split. There's a beginning of a parsha here, but like why these two should be the two parts of this parsha, that doesn't seem to me to have any logic to me. Maybe just by length, although the second one is longer than the first, so I don't know. In any case, what we start here is with Torah's Osham, with the laws of the Osham, with how the Kehanim are going to deal with the Korban Osham. As we've said, the Korban Chatos seems to be almost the same as a Korban Osham functionally. The main difference in a Korban Chatos and a Korban Osham is what kind of chatoim, what kind of sins it comes to atone for. I think it also works in a different way, but I'm not going to discuss that here. It seems to me that Osham is more something that functions as a punishment, while Chatos functions mostly as an atonement, like kind of seeking forgiveness or something like that. But in any case, when we had, there's definitely a parsha, as you see here, I also made a parsha, because this is another way which we can see that the text itself splits up its parts, because when it wants to give you a new beginning, a new parsha, it has another, now this doesn't need to be taken as like a story, it happened to be that Hashem spoke this twice. Even if it would have happened, or even if it didn't, then even if it would have, if it's true, it's not important. Like, why do I need to know how many shirim Hashem had to give to Moshe for this subject? It's not important. We only get these reports when it's important, because this organizes the structure, this organizes the parshas correctly. And vice versa, it's possible that it's not necessarily always a report that this is what happened. It's all of it, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, and the writer, or Moshe himself, or the act of writing, it gets added whenever there's a new parsha. So here we have it before Chatos and Osham together. That's why I call it Torah Zachatos V'Osham, and there's a Vov V'Zois Torah Zachatos V'Zois Torah Zosham. And as it finishes in the end of Karban Osham, Kachatos Kosham, the laws of Achatos are like the laws of Osham. They have the same laws. Of course, here it's talking about something specifically, but for the most part, they do have the same laws. We have a name for it, Kodesh Kodeshim. Kodesh Kodeshim, by the way, doesn't mean holy of holies. That's not how this word functions. Kodesh Kodesh just means holy, holy. Just how it's how the style of the Chumash works. We have other examples of this that I don't remember at the second. But Kodesh Kodesh is not like that. There's Kodesh and Kodesh of the Kodesh. It just means very holy. It gets nishchat in the same place as the oila. So there's another like logic here, and I think that this logic always has a meaning. I don't know if it's only like technically short way to write. There's like a primary example, and then there's different examples that are learned from it. So there's a oila. Oila is nishchat where, as we learned by the Karbin oila, right? It didn't even say here, but it said in Parshas Vayikra, and this is why maybe a reason why we should assume that this parsha knows is referring to that parsha. Oila is nishchat aliyadach hamizbech tzafayna and tzafin of the mizbech, and the same place achatas is nishchat. So in that sense, achatas and oila are both kodesh kedoshim. They're both, although right, the main difference, like to explain why I think the main difference, as I said, is really only two kinds of karbanos, oila and zevach. Or zevach, known as zevach shlamim. In other words, there's a carbon that's brought to God, and there's a carbon that is shared between God and the person that brings it, which is a shlamim. It's more of a party than a sacrifice, so to speak. Although all these words are not entirely accurate, we'll have to think of them in a different context. Now, everyone knows in halacha there's something in between, right? So in halacha, generally it's described as there's karbonas that only the Mizbeach eats, only God eats, so to speak. There's karbonas that the Mizbeach and the Kehanim eat, which are Chatas, Osham, and Mincha, and so on. And then there's the karbonas that all three eat, both the Baalim, the person that brought the karbon, and the Kehanim and the Mizbeach. I think that the way it should be conceptualized, and I think that the Torah conceptualizes it slightly differently, that there's really only two karbonas. There's one, like I said, Oila and Zevach. The karbonas that the Kehanim also eat, the Kehanim eat it, so to speak, in the name of God, right? If you think about it, Kehanim, there's not such a big difference in burning something on the Mizbeach and having the Kohen eat it. The Kohen is part of the Mikdash, part of the temple. He works there. So, and just like we saw a mincha is Kodesh Kedoshim, that was already said in Parshas Vayikra, and the Kehanim eat most of the mincha, besides for the Haketorah, besides for the Kmitza. And the same way, Achatas Osham, the Kehanim eat it, but that's considered that's the part that's given to Hashem, given to the Mikdash. So Chatas and Osham are all Kodesh Kedoshim. That's of course the Zalochas that are defined as Kodesh Kedoshim. But the Kodesh Kedoshim, the simple sense that it's not me making a party. It's like a Shlema Mizah, as we'll see in a second. But it's giving something to the Mikdash. Now, what the Mikdash does with it is their job, you understand? Like, that's Torah Sa'ila. That's what, for the Kehanim to know. Sometimes they burn it entirely. Sometimes they eat some of it. That's something for them to deal with. The person that brings the carbon, that's not really his concern. Okay, so that's where we are. We got Zrika Saddam. And then the Chalev, and we'll see later something about this Chalev, but the Chalev, the fats, get burnt on the Mizbech, and we have this elaboration of exactly which parts of the chalev. It's always the same, more or less. The chalev is, which chalev gets burnt on the mizbech is a function of the animal. So different animals have slightly different parts, but in general, it's always this the same, these parts. There's theories for why these parts, but we're going to skip that for now. And that's the osham. And then we have the laws of who eats it, the kehanim, so the male kehanim, so again, the ones that are doing the avoda, the actual avoda, eat it. They eat it in the mokim kodesh, in the azura, in the beis hamikdash. Again, because this eating is part of the akrava. That's the law. Now we have a little parsha, and I think this is how I framed it here, of which kohen gets to eat it. So now again, this is an internal division between the Kehanim. Since we brought the carbon to the Kehanim, now there's like going to be a fight between the Kehanim, which Kohen gets to eat which carbon. So the law, as it says here in the most literal reading, is that Achatas, Ha'osham, the oil that the Kohen doesn't get anything besides for the skin, and again, and the same law for the applies to that. But which Kohen gets it? HaKohen Asher Yechapeh Bo. So whichever Kohen did the Avoida, so some Kohen did, you know, someone brings a carbon, and then again, there's another question of who decides which coin does the avoda. That question is not dealt with in Sefer Vayikra, of course, in Sefer Divrei Yomim, and later there's a discussion of how to figure this out with Mishmores. Over here, it's not dealt with. But what it says is that whichever coin did the avoda, he gets to eat it. In the same way for Oila, although there's nothing to eat there, there is the skin that isn't eaten, and the coin who did the avoda was going to get it. Same thing with Amincha, same thing. But of the mincha, there's something different. There's one slight difference. I don't know the reasoning behind this at the moment. But a mincha, the baked ones, the one baked in an oven, that we learned by mincha that there's many different styles of mincha. Also an interesting point. Why is there so many styles? So there's three of them here. Mafetane or macheshes or machvas, those the kohen again gets it. But then there's another kind of mincha, blilev Hashem v'chareva. So which means the ones that were not, what does it mean? Not clear what it means, that's the truth. That they all share. So there's a problem to figure out which one is the ones that are not one of the first three, which I don't have a simple explanation for this right this second. Okay, so that's the halachas of a chatas and asham, and the general halachas of which koyin gets what. Now we have a new set of halachas. Torah zevach hashlamim. And as I told you, shlamim is one. It's not like there's two words for the same carbon, zevach and shlamim. Zevach is a kind of carbon, and as we'll see, the zevach toida and zevach shlamim, which is not a toida, maybe all of them are called shlamim, means something like peace, or I think peace is not a very good translation. Now I realized it should be translated something like when we say shalom aleichem, right, or something called in the Gemara she'elas shalom. It doesn't mean they just like blessed each other with peace. Peace means something positive usually. Also, when we talk about Shleima Shel Malchus, a lot of the talk about things like that. It's people coming together is Shalom, right? Like when we say Shalom Bayis isn't just the lack of conflict, like sometimes translated as harmony, right? It's the actual living together. So the same thing, Shlomim is about the living together, like the eating together. So when a person eats together with his friends, with Hashem, Kivyochel, that's a Zevach Shlomim. And here we have different variations of a Zevach Shlomim. one called a toida and the other one called neder and nedava, right? We call that shalmei toida and plain shlomim. So toida, we can assume from the name, is of Thanksgiving. If you want to give thanks to Hashem, you make a zevach, you make a party, called a toida, and therefore you bring also chalos, and there's three kinds of chalos, or four kinds of chalos, not clear. This, I think that's literal meaning is that there's only three kinds. Maybe you have a choice which ones to which kind. These are the similar to the styles that we saw by Mincha. It depends. There's different options for what to do with the oil, to mix it or to shmir it on it or to burn it somehow and like to fry it or something. There's different ways of doing it, and these are baked chametz. So unlike what the mizbeach eats. Which is never chametz, as we learned in Parshas Vayikra. These chalas are chametz, and probably because they're mostly for the people to eat. But there is one of each. Echad mikol karban, one of each. It doesn't say how many, right? Chazal have numbers. You do 10 of each, and so on. But what it says here is that when you make these chalas, you give one to the kohen, which will be a treman. Again, which kohen? The one who did avoid, the one who did the zrikas adam for that shlomim. Now there's one more halacha, and we've seen. I remember if we saw this halacha again. There's the halacha of noiser, and it's that a toida has to be eaten in that day. This is obvious because a toida is, like I said, it's making a party. Like the important thing if you make a party is that it's not like, he's not shechting and putting in the freezer. Even those days, there's no freezers. Like he's putting it away for the next week or so to eat it. Yes, it has to all be eaten in that day. We'll see a regular shlomim has slightly more time, but that's because it's less of a party, I think. Okay, and if it's, and that's the difference. If it is regular, neder and nedava, neder means someone had a tzura and he made a neder, like we see in Tehillim many times, that if he'll be saved, he'll bring a carbon. And nedava might mean stamazo, he decided to bring a carbon, he was in a good mood. That can be eaten for 2 days, not for 1 day, only 3 days. If you eat it later, that's lo yechashev pigel. Of course, pigel has a whole interesting halacha that came out of it, but literally just means if you eat it too late, it's not good anymore. And again, this is just the correct way of eating, since in these carbonas, the eating is part of the carbon, it's the party, has to be done in the correct way. Now we have halachas of the purity, just like we had by the karmachatos yesterday, which we didn't learn. You have to eat it when you're pure. Doesn't, of course, define here what tumah is. We'll get that much later. Both if the meat gets impure or if the person who eats it is impure, that's all not okay. And you got a einish kores. Okay, that's could discuss another time what that is and why. Now there's an important little addition to these parshas, and that's the concept of not eating chaylev and dam without this carbon. So we discussed that this whole parsha is which part of the carbon the kohen and the mizbeach eats. In general, the mizbeach eats the dam and the chaylev, and the kohen gets his parts of each carbon, depending on what it is. And now, based on this, the Torah says that other people should not eat chaylev, the fat of any of the animals that are brought for a carbon, even fat of animals that were not slaughtered in the correct way. You can't eat them. They're nevela treifa, which we'll learn later, are not eaten. You can use them, but you cannot eat them. So, and that's also something that you get the einish of kores. And the same thing with blood. Can't eat any blood of any animal. And also you get kores. It doesn't say this right here. It did say already in Parshas Vayikra, if I remember. And the reasoning that you get from this context is that chelev and dam are the parts of the animal that are special. They're kodesh. They're the best parts. Or I don't know if they're really the best parts. It's complicated how to think about this. But they belong to the mizbech and they don't belong to you. So eating it is like ke'ili, although you're not eating it from a carbon. But it's ke'ili like you're eating kodesh. Like ke'ili, it doesn't belong to humans. Okay? Now, we have one more important part. When you bring a shlomim, as we discussed, a shlomim is defined as mostly being a carbon for the a party for the owner. He gives a little fit for the mizbeach, like there's the dam and the chelev, but it's really for him. So now the kahanim are left with nothing. So here there's a special mitzvah, like it's matnas kina. It's a part that the kohen gets from a shlomim. And the part that he gets is known as chaza shoik, the breast and the right leg, or the right thigh, really. That's the part that he gets, and it's explicitly. It's not that it's not right. It's not that this is like a matuna to the mizbeach, or like the It's not like a kohen eats the chatas, right? When it eats a chatas, it gets to mizbeach, and the kohen has part of it as representative of the mizbeach, so to speak. A shlomim belongs to the owner, but the owner gives a part, a gift, a part of his carbon, of his party, to the kohen, so he should also have his part. It's like, of course, it's payment for the work that he did, and so on, but it's like other matnas kohen. That's how it's described here. And that's the end. And now we have the siyum, the header, the final header of this parsha, Zois Mishchas Aharon. This is a Mishchas Aharon, probably means not clear how to translate this word Mishchas, but it means what Aharon gets. This is the people say the part Mishcha is like means anointed, or so where does it have to do with anointing? It's not clear. In any case, maybe like Rashi says Gedulas, maybe because like if when you would make someone to a king or a kohen, you moishech him, you put some oil on him, so the parts, the gifts, the honors, the due to him from being a kohen are also called after that the mishcha. In any case, this is what they get. So this is a proof to what I said, that this parsha is really about what the kohanim do and get from the karbonas. And again, confirm that this is what Hashem told them to get. And this is all the laws of the oila, the mencha, the chatas, the osham, the miluim. What miluim are, we'll see in the next chapter. Seems to be referring to that. It was already said in the previous chapter, the laws of it, and which were commanded when Bahar Sinai and the day b'yoyim tzavoyis es b'nai Yisrael l'hakrivas kabanayim l'Hashem. It seems to be important in general in all the parshas of the Karbonas. This is not the only time to say explicitly that the Karbonas and all the detailed laws, which parts the Kohanim get and so on, were commanded in Midbar Sinai and Har Sinai in the day that Hashem commanded the Eden for the Karbonas. So to speak, in the day of Matan Torah, although maybe this is not Matan Torah, maybe this is like the first day of the Kumas HaMishkan, of Yikra HaMoshe, or some other time, but it seems to be important for the Pesuk always to emphasize that it wasn't that day. You could think about why there would be such an emphasis, but that's this chapter.